Here's a fact that I honestly have to say out loud over and over again because I really kind of have trouble believing it's real. But Americans waste 40% of all the food we produce. It's true, that figure comes from actual research. And before we go and blame our famously broken food system for all that waste, the fact is that people throwing out food at home is a huge contributor to that. So I think we need to think about how to lighten that load. Because food waste is obviously money waste, but it's also a strain on the environment to produce that food in the first place, and a strain to deal with all that rotting food afterwards. And a lot of people are trying to tackle this issue by turning to chefs. And it makes sense, right? They're always cutting waste because it's basically the only way to make a profit running a restaurant. And they're experts at making things delicious. But chefs also often come up with ideas that require a team of prep cooks, or you know, they end up making those kale stems into a great finishing sprinkle for the sweetbreads on their tasting menu, but not, you know, something for dinner at home on Tuesday. So let me introduce you to Abra Behrens.
Hi!
Oh.
It's so nice to see you.
It's so good to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me over. I'm so excited to be in your place.
Thanks for coming through.
Abra is absolutely one of my favorite people on earth. She grew up in rural Michigan, was a farmer, and is now a chef on a farm, and the author of the beautiful new cookbook called Roughage. And while she was in New York promoting that book, which, full disclosure, I wrote the foreword for because I love her so much, I asked her to come over and go through my fridge. I wanted to learn from her and see how to know what's still fresh, you know, how to salvage the so-so stuff, and how to know when it's time to just move on and not feel too bad about it.
All right, so we're talking fridges and pantries and food waste, is that... That's what we're talking about today? All right, great. You know I love not wasting stuff.
Okay, when I talk to a lot of chefs about, you know, minimizing food waste, this is a thing that chefs are really into, a lot of chefs are really into, it's great, and then the next part of the conversation is, okay, so you would just take, like, the pulp from the carrot juice, and then you lacto-ferment it, and then you dehydrate it, and after that, you pulverize it, and then you rehydrate it again and make a twirl out of it. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That sounds great.
Yeah.
But you don't come at it like that.
Yeah, I tend to think about it a little bit more like, what can you do to avoid the waste from the get-go? So if that means, you know, buying in smaller quantities and more frequently, or buying a mixture of things that some are going to go bad sooner, like really delicate, beautiful microgreens and baby greens, and then having kale and then cabbage, you know, like those have different shelf lives. So trying to have a good product mix in your own fridge. But then also how to like kind of read the landscape of the food and be like, oh, that's starting to like turn that little bit of a color where it's still good, but it needs to happen in the next couple days. Right. And really have kind of the things on hand to be able to turn those into meals quickly so that you can catch that window before it expires is a funny word because expiration dates are a whole nother like can of worms or whatever. But, you know, I think that's another element of mitigating waste is relying on your senses to tell you what you're looking at,
rather than a date stamp on the package.
Right, because you have, there's all so many variables in that, and also you have to think about it from the person who's stamping that date on the package. Their primary thing is that nobody gets something that's not fresh, but it also doesn't mean that it's an indicator of going bad. When I used to work at the produce market, they would never sell milk that was within, you know, a week of the expiration. But milk lasts for weeks past the expiration. So a lot of times the cafe could absorb that, turn it into ricotta and use it up until that date, and then it wouldn't go to waste.
Right.
And so I think, you know, in a home kitchen where you don't have some of those same scale and infrastructure issues, it's still important to utilize your senses. Because really, we all understand when food has gone bad. We might just have to like reacquaint ourselves with some of those hallmarks. And there are significantly worse things in the world than having some sour milk in your mouth. So like taste your milk, and if it tastes bad, spit it out.
Yeah.
And then
and
start
then
again.
Know it's done.
And then you know it's bad. All right.
Okay.
So let's look through your fridge.
Yeah, so this is super fun. I had a full fridge prepared for you. I had a compost bucket. We're gonna go through it. You're gonna tell me, oh my god, you can actually cook the cauliflower leaves. They're delicious.
Yeah.
My wife Christine.
Wonderful woman.
it is not her job to clean the kitchen and the fridge. It's my job. Uh-huh. So I don't expect her to do it. Uh-huh. And she decided 2 days ago that she wanted to clean the kitchen and the fridge.
Oh, man. It's like it's like an O. Henry story. Like a gift of the Magi in the kitchen.
Like the opposite.
Totally. I think this is a blessing in disguise, because I think so many times people get fixated on, like, how do I turn this, like, drippy bag of, like, swamp greens into something delicious? And it's like, well, you don't really. but there's lots of things that are maybe on the edge, or even just thinking about, like, we always call it vegetable triage at our house, or like fridge triage, like what things need to like have some attention paid right away and which ones can continue to sit in the back. So I think Christine has given us a leg up on the conversation. Yeah.
All right. Let's open her up.
Okay. This is so fun and also sort of voyeuristic. I mean, it's like half the time when I'm catering in people's homes, there's like this moment of like, let's see how they organize things. Great. So I think, well, first of all, it's a very well-organized fridge, Francis. Lots of good Tupperware choices that are all square, so easy to stack. What is this? Is this
oatmeal? That's my daughter's oatmeal. Don't
joke. Okay. We'll
she
leave that.
She didn't eat a lot this morning.
Great. All right. Oh, my God. What's this guy? Herb salsa. I'm going to go into the veggie thing. So you've got one scallion.
This scallion is not the color God intended.
It's, no, but it's also,
it's
well, actually,
pale green. It's not quite like yellow brown.
Yeah, let's pull that out. Oh, here, there's more scallions.
Yeah, so I got fresh scallions because of this sad single scallion.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to shut the fridge door for energy efficiency's sake. Okay, so let's look at what we've got here. So yeah, you've got two different batches, and if you're looking at these two different scallions, what you can see is that the ones that are fresher, you said you bought these just recently, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. They're straighter and they have crisper greens. There's no like signs of like denting or whatever along the root. The roots are still really nice and firm. So like these guys I would not think that much about. Whereas on the guy that's a little bit older in the fridge, it has gone from that bright green to more of a gray. So that's kind of how you can tell what you're looking at. And food will tell you what it's trying to tell you. And, you know, vegetables especially, they're agricultural products and they are alive in a lot of ways without making it too, like, philosophical. You know, they should look enticing and bright and alive. And so when it starts to kind of move away from that, it's a good indicator to, like, let's get it going a little bit.
Get on using it.
And so what I would do with this one that's a little bit older is also pulling off some of the older ends. You can trim it up a little bit. I would also probably just add this to your herb salsa because you already have a jar of some herbs that are chopped up and probably, I would
olive
guess,
oil,
there's like
vinegar.
Olive. Yeah. And so that way you know that it's going to get used up. And like a lot of that is also kind of restaurant stuffing of like you're going through your containers and taking something that's in a really big container, putting it into a smaller one. What things can you combine like items together, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do with these guys.
I love that.
And then the other things I pulled out, you've got one apple that I think it's feeling really, really good. Like it feels nice and firm. There's no obvious like blemishes or marks or anything like that. And again, sometimes I like to think about it like what is the plant trying to do? And so when you have like a blemish in a piece of fruit, it's trying to heal that wound because it knows that's an entrance point for either bacteria or pests or something like that. And so the more perfect a fruit is, the longer it's going to last. And so I then use them in the inverse order. So if you have some apples that you notice like, oh, there's a couple of marks on this one, still totally good. There's a ton of food there, but use them first.
Yeah.
And then also I find it really helpful to have a few handful of recipes for things that can kind of hoover up a lot of those things. So for me with fruit, that can be like a roasted fruit compote or something like that. And you can even freeze them too. We would do that at one of the restaurants where I worked where we had fruit salad in the cafe. And then whatever fruit salad came back after, you know, 2 or 3 hours, because the fruit at some point starts to look a little weird, then we would either freeze it or just start those batches of compote.
Yeah.
And that was a really fun one.
And literally just throw in the oven?
Yeah, throw in the oven or on the stovetop. The one that we did that I love doing with apples specifically or cranberries in the fall is make a caramel and then like a pretty dark like smoking caramel and then add the fruit to it. But you can do it with just regular sugar too and just let it cook down until it's thick and soft and then cool it and pop it in your fridge or in your freezer. And that can be a really fast way to do dessert or spoon like a frozen little bit of fruit compote over yogurt or over over pancakes or whatever. You know, you can use it in anything. It's also really good if you take a fruit compote and add mustard to it, and put that with like charcuterie or cheeses or some of that, or like on sandwiches, like turkey sandwiches or ham sandwiches or whatever, with that kind of like mustardy fruitiness. I really love that. So that's what I would say about fruit. And then the other thing I pulled out is these carrots. And there's sort of two ways to look at some of the root crops. So the more recently that they've been pulled out of the ground, they're gonna have their greens on them still. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times at stores, you can get roots that have the greens or that don't. And I don't have any sort of value association difference with them. It's just a different characteristic. So for your carrots, they've been pulled from the ground for a little while, but they're still nice and firm. And if you have the greens will also respirate moisture from the roots more quickly because they have more surface area, and that's sort of how the plant functions. So if you have a root that still has the greens attached and you're gonna store them, like if you're not gonna have them in the next couple of days, take the greens off. You can store them separately if you wanna use them. I actually don't generally do that much with the carrot greens, partially because I have access to compost, and so it alleviates my guilt of throwing them away. But also, they're a really intense flavor, and I found when I was like super into some of those like more elaborate things, carrot top pesto and things like that, you had to buy so much parsley and so much basil to like make them palatable because they're so tannic. So sometimes I think it's reasonable, especially in a home kitchen, if you know that you're not going to make carrot top pesto, which I often don't. I don't usually buy carrots with the tops on. So the only thing I would say about these carrots is that you're getting a little bit of root development. It's trying to root. So carrots and all root crops, they store all of this energy in their roots in order to send up a new sprout. Okay. So like carrots are biennial. So they grow the first year, put all of their energy into making this thick taproot, store the nutrients.
Which is what we think of as the carrot.
Yes. Okay. Store the nutrients there, and then they'll go through a winter cycle, and then in the spring, they'll send up a flower shoot to set seed. So all plants are trying to set seed. That's their like primary goal. So if you have carrots, they go into cold storage and then they go into like a warmer place in your kitchen. You'll get all of these like little tiny hairy roots coming out because it's spring. I should be like sending up my flower shoot.
Oh, that's what's happening.
Isn't that wild? Like plants are so cool. But that's also why carrots get sweeter after the frost, because they've put all this energy into their taproot and they're converting that starch into sugar to feed that shoot when it comes up. And then the increase of sugar also means that they won't freeze as easily, which it's like...
Amazing.
Isn't it amazing? I just love it. Yeah. And the same is true for parsnips, which is why if people say, oh, I don't eat parsnips because they're so bitter, it's because they haven't gone through. Because parsnips are like... sinister little buggers, because they they are so bitter, because also that bitterness is a natural pest deterrent. They will like taste really bitter until they go through that frost, and then they'll start to sweeten. The other thing that parsnips do, and the reason you don't see parsnips with their leaves on them, is that they secrete a chemical that literally will burn you, because they're trying to not disturb the like taproot. It's wild.
It's like a self-defense thing.
Totally. And then all right, so that's root crops. So general rule of thumb, store separate from the greens, only buy the greens if you think you're gonna use them. And then what you're looking for is any sign of that sort of regrowth. And also to remember, like there's this one spot on this carrot that's like, probably had like a little divot, probably had like a gash when it was being forked from harvest, little bit of, like kind of that downy mold that happens just from being in plastic in refrigeration. Mm-hmm. But 98% of this carrot is totally great. So like just cut that little bit off. But also because it's not soft, it's not like wiggly or any of those things, there's not a ton of urgency around that. But if you were to find like, if you were to find like a slippery one in there, give them a rinse, give them a smell. And if they're starting to feel soft, then I would get them into a pan. Yeah.
Should we talk about some of the things you like to do when you have just like bits and bobs of whatever in the fridge? You mentioned earlier, if you have fruit, you like to just roast the food or put them in a caramel and cook them down. Mm-hmm. And that can be a great like chunky sauce for ice cream or something.
Yeah.
But talk about what you would do if you were in your fridge and you had like half a cup of cauliflower left and a quarter cup of eggplant left.
So I tend to, I make a lot of frittatas, mostly because we have a ton of eggs in our house always. And that's another, so it's again kind of that vegetable triage that if you've got the raw ingredient and then you make a bunch of roasted stuff so you can have it on hand for the week and then it comes to be Friday night or Saturday morning and you're like, oh, I've got all of these random one-off things, then it's kind of, it can make this new thing, which is the frittata. So I do that with, I generally make a big batch at once. So I'll use a dozen eggs, crack them into a container and then top it up with either milk or cream to until you get to about a quart total volume. Add a bunch of salt and then heat up a frying pan and add all of the random vegetables. And that can be everything from, yeah, the roasted cauliflower, the bits of eggplant. You can use up greens. So it's a really great way if you've got some greens that are kind of on the edge to do like spinach in there, kale, probably not the lettuces, although you could try and see what, I don't know. And but like chard or the beet tops, all of that sort of stuff. And then just pour the egg over the top. I usually keep it on the burner until that bottom part is set and then I'll finish it in the oven. So it's just like a nice egg bake. And then, you know, you have that for breakfast. The other thing I really love is I do a lot of shaved vegetable salads where I'll take all of those random ends and then you could take your carrot and just shave it with a vegetable peeler or a knife. And this is another thing I love is we call it trashy ranch in our house. And it's like equal parts pickle juice from the jar. So after you've eaten all the pickles and then mayonnaise and just shake it up into a like really nice dressing. It's like super tangy. You can do it with sauerkraut juice. You could do it with kimchi juice. Anything that's like really acidic in that way.
It's incredible.
So good. Yeah, I know. And it sounds so ridiculous, but it's really good. And then I'll just take all of those vegetable things, dress it in trashy ranch, maybe add some herbs to it if you have it, and serve that with like anything.
And you have a whole thing in your book about stocking your pantry, to have things on hand. So you can make quick salads, quick things, you toss something with a dressing and that makes a meal.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite things?
Well, I think the things that I go to the most to make those fast dinners out of what we have are sometimes, I mean, there's the pantry staples like a can of chickpeas. I love oil-packed tuna. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like it in the oil is because then it, you have like tuna-flavored oil that you can use in your dressing. So I really love that. I also always have chili oil on hand, which is, I make a very simple version where you just toast, fry the chilies, and just like the ones you'd get at a pizza place, like the crushed red pepper, fry those up in like kind of, you know, maybe a half inch or so of, and I use neutral oil because I'm sort of cheap, and so I don't always want to use nice olive oil when it's just going to be spicy and all those things. So I'll use a neutral oil, deep fry them in that, and then take it off the heat and add the cold oil to stop the cooking. And then it sort of steeps in that way. It becomes bright red and really beautiful, and we spoon that over so many things. And then also another sort of food waste ender on both ends is roasted cherry tomatoes. We do that a lot at the farm. You take all of these cherry tomatoes, toss them in a little bit of oil that I do use olive oil for, olive oil, salt, maybe some pepper, maybe some chili flakes if you want to, and then put them in the oven at like 350 and roast them until they get to nappe, which is where the liquid will burst and then it'll reduce slowly. And when you can drag a wooden spoon or a spatula across the bottom and it, the liquid doesn't rush in on itself, and then I freeze that. And you could probably can it, but I never have because I never like get the whole canning rigmarole out. I mean, I wish
you grew
I
up
did,
country. Yeah. You don't need to pretend to be country anymore.
We bought a freezer. So, and I think, and that's the thing. It's like I don't want to be dismissive of it because for a lot of people, they're reconnecting with those things, and that's valuable. And if you have the time and the interest to do it, great. Like, you know, but as soon as you feel beholden to it or it becomes an impediment to enjoying your food, that feels like a real bummer. And I also think that about food waste too, that for me, it's really important to honor the work that went into and the resources that went into producing this food.
Sure.
But also like, you know, if you've got a really crazy week and you have to throw something out, it's okay.
Don't stress yourself out.
Yeah, and don't beat yourself up over it, too, is a big part of it. But I do think the side benefit of people thinking about food waste is, you know, when you care about something, it's often because we value it. And so I think that as a society, our study will only improve the more we care about the food that we consume, how it's produced, the people who are doing that production. Mm-hmm. And I think the simplest way to show that you care is by not throwing it out.
When you don't have to.
Right, when you don't have to, yeah. Exactly, perfect. Yeah. And so just thinking about it that way, yeah.
Thank you, Abra.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me.
That was Abra Behrens, and she is the author of Roughage, A Practical Guide to Vegetables. You can find her recipe for carrots with spicy apricot jam, mint, and almonds, and some of her other ways to use carrots at splendidtable.org.